I'm lucky that, you know, I've had some fantastic memories with sport and travelling around the world and the work that I do now, and then kids, obviously. But people don't understand that the most vivid and daunting memory that I have, a memory that I live through every single day, is the day that I attempted my life. That was by far the worst, most horrific, and most emotionally painful day that I've ever been to in my entire life. So I relive that every day. The things that, I'll put into my life that help me to move past it.
Welcome to Let's Talk, a podcast about mental health in rural and regional Australia. My name is Kaya Handley. I'm a journalist and have had my own lived experience with mental health. In this episode, we're focusing on the mental health of Indigenous Australians. The statistics around the mental health of Indigenous Australians are alarming. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Indigenous suicide rates are twice the national average, and there are higher rates of depression and anxiety. At the start of this episode, you heard some of Joe Williams' mental health story. He's a Wiradjuri man, a National Rugby League player, boxer, and now an advocate for Indigenous mental health. But at the peak of his football career, while it looked like he had it all, behind the scenes, Joe was struggling.
Call it a poker face, call it whatever you want. I hid my behaviours a hell of a lot for a lot of years. And the thing is with me, I struggled with an internal dialogue. So pretty much a conversation in my head that told me to take my life every day since I was about 13. Every single day, I've battled with this right throughout my life. And people don't know that. They just look at the mental illness tag or the label, and then they look at, you know, yeah, well, he's successful, so it must have affected him. But my behaviours towards other people were obviously telling differently, where I just thought it was a normal way of life. I was extremely erratic. I was up and down. And what happened with that is that I used substance for a hell of a long time to try and quiet down what was going on inside my head, but also trying to band-aid those behaviours that were happening. You know, I've put certain practices into my life that have helped enable me to live and function just like anyone else. I struggle behind the closed doors a lot. And still to this day.
It feels cliche to say Joe Williams' diagnosis and recovery was a journey, but it's been a slow and hard process to get him to where he is today as an Indigenous mental health advocate. And it started with understanding his inner monologue was not healthy and could be changed.
Mine was an extremely negative one that second-guessed and questioned every decision and every conversation that I have with people. I struggle with a huge paranoia that everyone is against me and talking about me and think negatively about me. And that's the dialogue I've had ever since that I was a kid. I had to go through a hell of a lot of unfortunate stuff, my addictions and everything that came with it, for me to realize that, one, I struggle with addiction, but then, two, once I took the addictive process away, I was struggling with something even deeper, you know, and that was when I was diagnosed with a mental illness in 2009. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
This is something Phil Naden sees every day in his work as the CEO of the Billamulji Aboriginal Health Service. Indigenous people reaching out for help with their mental health because of a whole range of reasons.
Some of the issues within a lot of our regional Aboriginal medical services differ, and historically, dealing with a lot of the historical and intergenerational trauma, there's issues around a lot of that internal and suffering from colonisation. But people do still experience some of the experiences of intergenerational trauma, which is history passed down through generations. But then more so, you have some of the more clinical issues that some of our Aboriginal medical services deal with around psychosis and severe mental illnesses. I think what we should be conscious of the fact is that mental illness, in whatever aspect it is, whether it's mild, medium or severe, is always classified as mental illness, and we should treat every case by case different, but more so recognising that there are the underlying issues of what we're talking about to try and address those issues.
Phil says while there are some mental health concerns like technology, addiction and isolation that can put strain on anyone's mental health, these can be compounded for Indigenous Australians because of intergenerational trauma.
If you look at it from an Indigenous perspective, there are some people that are still confronted with racism, isolation, depression in different locations around different areas, and I think that impacts a lot more on those individuals in different areas. And obviously everyone's got a different story, so in some areas that might be not as prevalent. However, it does impact individuals in different ways.
So what role does culture need to play in mental health services for Indigenous Australians? Darcy Budden says culture is identity, and without it, you cannot be mentally healthy.
Without your identity, you don't know what your culture is, and I see a lot of young males who don't know who their identity or, you know, what their tribal nation is, where they come from, because of there might be social issues within their family. And also you think about the older generations, their mental well-being. You got the stolen generations, which has impacted on their identity. And people know that they're of Aboriginal descent and they don't know their identity. They don't know how to express themselves and learn about their culture.
But culture is complex, because as Phil Naden explains, it's a loss of culture that has led to higher rates of mental health for Indigenous Australians.
To me, culture is family, which is kinship, your traditional land, your country, your language, and also your identity. And through early colonisation, those four things were taken away from Aboriginal people. So I think it's how you want to perceive what culture is, but if it's that definition of culture that is impacted on what you've done, and particularly through intergenerational trauma where it's been taken away from you, that then impacts you long term through trying to deal with your identity and who you are.
For Joe Williams, learning about his Wiradjuri heritage, connecting with his culture, was one of the things that saved him.
It's been my biggest healer without doubt, and it was about a reconnection. You know, I've always known that I was an Aboriginal. I didn't connect to it a hell of a lot, because let's not forget that a lot of the practice of being an Aboriginal person, a lot of the talk of being an Aboriginal person was all taken away from us. We weren't allowed to do it, talk about it. You know, that flow-on effect has happened still with our people today. So now we're at a point in our lives where culture is alive, culture is prominent in communities, it's spoken about, people wear it proudly. Yeah, there's still a hell of a lot of racial discrimination. But, you know, for me, connecting to those old values of what those old people used to live with is the thing that keeps me alive and well.
So how can we include culture in mental health services? Beyond training Indigenous medical practitioners to talk about and help treat mental illness, Darcy Budden has a few ideas.
Linking people to cultural events, part of their recovery process, and getting to know other people in the community. I worked in a program up here, the No Durry for This Murray program, and part of the quitline service have got Indigenous counsellors, you know, and that makes people feel a bit more comfortable when they're accessing that service, so they know that the people on the end of the phone's got an understanding of their culture and, you know, some of the issues, social issues that's been associated in their life.
And we are seeing improvements. Phil Naden says stigma is being broken down and Indigenous Australians are seeking help for themselves and for others.
Not having the stigma attached to telling people that there's something actually wrong with you, that you might be suffering from an illness, whether it be depression or suicidal ideation or, you know, through to psychosis. So I think it's being consciously aware that everyone does experience some mental health capacity in some area of their life, and there's always an option there to talk to people about it. And we encourage people to talk people about it. We encourage people to access, you know, a general practice or even an Aboriginal medical service where we work in that space, and really encourage them to seek the support that they need to.
But more can be done, and people are working hard to drop the suicide and mental health rate for Indigenous Australians. Darcy Budden says improvement starts with social inclusion and the involvement of elders.
Go back to more cultural stuff and get more elders in our community and people who do cultural stuff in the community to involve that in part of some of the programs and also some of the client services that are in our community to help with recovery.
Phil Naden wants everyone, Indigenous or not, to understand that help is available.
I think it's about recognising and acknowledging that everyone's different, but more so that everyone needs help and that everyone out there shouldn't feel isolated in what they're trying to help themselves with or help a friend with or a family member, and get them onto a right, correct referral pathway whereas they can access services out in the bush or in regional communities or urban, and make sure that they're getting the right support that they need at the right time.
These days, Joe Williams dedicates his life to sharing his story and supporting other Indigenous Australians, especially young men, understand their mental health and get help early. His message is simple. Look out for yourself, look out for others, and live by these five key values for a healthy and happy life.
It's about living a way of life with a value of mine. I live with five key simple values in my life. It's love, care, respect, humility, and compassion. And, you know, that's exactly what our old people used to live with. We lived with love and respect for each other. There was no hierarchy. We all sat around in a circle and we worked out problems. Why our old people never had problems with suicide is because we were always together. We lived in the community. We weren't isolated with things like social media and pulling away from our families. We always worked together and helped out each other.
You've been listening to Let's Talk, a podcast about mental health in rural and regional Australia. If you or someone you know needs help, there are so many places you can turn. If you need someone to talk to, you can call the New South Wales Mental Health Line on 1800 011 511 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. You can also access a heap of information on the Centre for Rural and Remote Mental Health's website. That's www.crrmh.com.au.